Yeah, Lord Jesus. Show us, Lord. This morning, actually, when the two meetings, we'll be going through the next book now, which is the fourth section in the Psalms, Reaching Maturity Through Sufferings, as you can see in your outline. And this morning, I think the Lord is really calling us not to suffer for all the things that we normally do in the world's for the world's sake, but to suffer for the things of the kingdom's sake.
Amen.
So let's read Psalm 129. Lord Jesus, amen. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turn back. Me as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows, does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Yes, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth.
Amen.
Yes, let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord
Jesus.
Many a time.
Oh,
they have afflicted me from my
yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yet they have not prevailed.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 Flowers plowed on my back.
Yes.
Made their furrows long.
Amen.
Lord is righteous.
The Lord is righteous. Amen.
The cords of the wicked.
Right.
Those who hate Zion be put to shame.
Amen.
And turn back.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yeah, you know, as we have seen that we want to, that we have a desire to really build the Lord's purpose, you know, the Lord doesn't promise that it's just going to be very easy for us. The Lord doesn't promise that, well, there's only blessing in Zion and everything that you have will be only prosperity, right? But indeed, if we desire to ascend, if we want to go further and build with the Lord, there's also suffering, right? And these two can't be separated, right? It's part of an ascension. You can't say, well, I really want the Lord's kingdom, but I only want his blessing, right? But we have to realize that to really build the Lord's kingdom, we also have to suffer, right? Let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 16 to 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 to 18. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, we only suffer a little bit in the present time, but it's nothing compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let's also read Philippians chapter 3. You know, we read this earlier in the conference, but let's read verse 7 to 11. What things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Amen. Conformed to his death, right? You know, as the saints that are trying to build his kingdom, you know, we also have to be those who are conformed to his death, having fellowship of his sufferings, right? You know, we have to really remember that the Lord, when he came, did not come just to have an easy life. You know, hey, I'm the Son of God, I can do what I want and enjoy everything because I'm the Son of God, right? But because he was really obedient to the Father's will, he had to suffer, right? And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he really prayed to the point where he was, you know, there was blood, right? And he was really in mourning, sweat dripping, yes. And it was a real hardship that he had to suffer to do the Father's will, that the Father's will could be accomplished. And we today, right, you know, as we read in Psalm 129, we have to see that if we're those who want to build the Lord's kingdom, then indeed there's going to be attack, right? Indeed there's going to be those who afflict us, even as it says, from our youth. Right? Meaning, even as we start to really start to trust in the Lord, to have a desire for his kingdom, that's when the attacks will all come, right? And even from the beginning. And I really realized as I was considering this psalm in this time, for this time, you know, I really considered before the Lord, oftentimes, if I'm honest with the Lord, you know, I see the suffering coming and I just turn away. Right? I think that we can share about that when the suffering times come, you know, the Lord will prevail and the Lord will be righteous, right, as it reads in the rest of the psalm. But I really consider before the Lord how much we avoid the suffering, right? The Lord has so many opportunities to gain glory in his house. He has so many opportunities to ascend in us, to really become the one who is glorified in his house. But we oftentimes run away from the sufferings, right? We'd rather not suffer. As I was considering this word, you know, it says, the plowers plowed on my back, they made their furrows long, right? Meaning that as the plowers are digging, they're digging these dirt trenches, and it's really just a long distance across us, right? And I think it's not a pleasant experience, right, that as we go through suffering, that someone would actually dig in us, you know, such a deep hole, right? Actually, Christine's kind of sensitive to pain, so if I just, like, pinch her a little bit, she'd be like, ow, why'd you do that, right? But for us, you know, it's like that for us. We just get a little bit of suffering for the Lord, and it's already too much for us, right? But the Lord really needs to show us if we do have a desire to build his house, if we have a desire to be laborers with the Lord, not that we would build out of our own flesh or our own strength, but if we desire to labor with the Lord, then also we will suffer. Right, and how much we can't be those who avoid suffering, right? I think we have all sorts of excuses in our flesh. Really, we do. You know, I'll speak just for myself, so please don't think I'm pointing out any of your own faults or what, you know, anything like that. But I realized how much we avoid suffering, right? You know, oftentimes we might blame, you know, our work situations. We say, "Well, I'm so busy, I can't serve the Lord," right? Or the people at my work are too hard, too hardened, they will never believe, right? But really what we're saying is, Lord, I don't want to have to lose, to introduce the Lord at my workplace. It might be, make things really difficult with my coworkers, right? Or, you know, or we use our work and the things we do as an excuse so that we don't have to suffer by being more tired because we're already working so hard. How can we serve the Lord, right? You know, we use our work as an excuse. We use our families. We might say, well, you know, tonight my kid went ballistic, so therefore I can't enjoy the Lord now. I need to go fix this and do this. And, you know, kid didn't sleep last night, so therefore I can't come to the Lord, right? I can't serve the Lord. You know, maybe we're having some time of fellowship plan, but forget it. It's not going to work out because, you know, the kids went crazy tonight. So, yeah, we have excuses in us that there are so many opportunities that the Lord wants to use, but we aren't willing to suffer. And it's really strange because, you know, for a lot of things in this world, we will suffer, right? If it's something at my work and I really enjoy what I'm doing, even if my work calls me at 9 o'clock at night, I might answer and say, okay, what do you need? How can we fix it? You know, what are we going to do? Right? If it's our family, of course, you know, if the kid is crying at 3 a.m. and it's, you know, you don't just go, well, I don't want to suffer right now. Let them cry until the morning time, right? Two nights ago, I had to get up because Joy wanted to eat peanuts at 9 o'clock at night, right? So it's, we suffer so much for things which are temporary, which, you know, and we're so willing to do it, but we're very willing to do it. But somehow with the Lord, you know, for the Lord's kingdom, we're so scared to suffer. We're so hesitant to suffer. That's really strange, and it really shows us and reveals, I think, where my heart is at, where our hearts are at, yeah? You know, even our circumstances, right? Oftentimes we give a lot of circumstances around us as the reasons why we don't come to the Lord, right? We could say, well, Lord, you know, your house is like this today. Or, you know, this brother, you know, really offended me. And because of that, I don't want to serve you. I don't want to suffer having to go through and deal with the situation. I'd rather just avoid it, right? Or because the house is one way, I don't want to serve you because I don't want to turn to you and have life because, you know, who cares? Everybody else is doing this, so why should I care, right? And I was really reminded in Revelation, as the Lord is speaking to each of the conditions in the churches, right? You know, if we pick any of them, of course, besides Philadelphia, which had a very good report card, right? But if we see any of them, let's say Ephesus, right, that they have lost their first love, right? If we see you know, if we see Sardis, right, that they have these works that they have named that are alive but are dead, right? If we see all these different conditions of the church, yeah, I said Sardis, yeah? Smyrna, yeah? Right, but I just skipped around a bit, sorry. But if we see all these conditions of the churches, you know, our natural reaction, if we were to write that, we would say, well, yeah, this is a condition of the church, so, you know, oh well, right? You've lost your first love and nobody else cares for the Lord. So, you know, it's okay. I can understand why you might feel like you shouldn't have your first love anymore. I can understand why you might be lukewarm. I can understand why you might be dead, right? That's us, right? But the Lord says, he who has an ear, let him hear, right? Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, right? And he's asking the saints in each of these situations to overcome, right? You know, I think there are so many excuses in us when we come to build the Lord's house. We blame everyone else, and we see everything everyone else's faults, but we don't ask the Lord to speak to us and change us so that we can still have life, right? Is it acceptable, right? If nobody else has a first love, if everybody is doing dead works, that we just say, okay, well, I'll go ahead and be dead too, right? Is that what the Lord says? When I come back, you'll be excused because everybody else was dead, right? But the Lord calls us to overcome even in this, right? To pursue and to, even in suffering for the sake, right? Even in our tears that we should be weeping for his sake, right? That we can overcome and really gain the glory in the Lord, right? And I really enjoyed this matter, right? It's not, there's so many excuses, and I often feel like, you know, Lord, and I'm already in my mid-30s now. Maybe that's not super old, but, you know, I'm already in my mid-30s now, and, you know, Lord, have you done enough, right? You know, can I say, Lord, you're done building your house, right? Or, Lord, you know, you've gotten everything you desire in your house today and in me, right? And I often think about it, and I'm really frustrated sometimes because I think, you know, Lord, you know, do I even suffer enough? Do I even care so much to build your house that I would suffer, right? And we like an easy life. So Paul really, he had desire. Give me a moment. You know, it's not a matter of legalism, right? It's not a matter that we say, well, just do this. You really just have to do things harder, do things more. But we really have to be those who desire to see that the Lord hasn't gained enough, right? And to suffer for the Lord that he can gain what he wants.
Amen.
So what? We get to work at Apple. So what that I have a wife and coming up with two kids? So what? Right? If the Lord's house isn't built, what do we have? Right? May the Lord really help us, right? To suffer for his name's sake, right?
Yes.
You know, if we aren't willing to suffer, then the Lord really can't get anything, isn't really perfecting us, right? I mean, when I was younger, when I was in college, actually, I used to be a really horrible cook. I'm a pretty good cook now. I'm not like Moses level, but I'm okay. I used to cook really badly, and when I was cooking things, I would cut meat the wrong way, and things would be really tough, and I would force myself to eat it because I was too poor to like buy new food and just replace it, right? So I had to eat everything I cooked, and it was pretty miserable. So sometimes I'd cook something and I would not want to eat it, but I would say, you know what, I'm either going to eat it or I'm going to starve. So, but through that first year of trying to cook, right, I suffered a lot, and I kept trying and I kept trying. Eventually, I got it. I understood how things worked, and I can cook pretty well now. And we can eat without feeling like it's too miserable, and things taste okay. But it was really a persistence to suffer through all these things that it just wasn't great, right? And for us today in the Lord's house, there is so much suffering and there's so much anguish that we run into, where there's situations, there's problems, there's circumstances, there's our own personal life and our work and our issues and everything else. But if we don't continue to struggle with the Lord, with them, give them to the Lord, the Lord can't really perfect us, right? The Lord can't build anything that's perfect. If we can turn to James chapter 1, yeah? Oops, James, where did you go? Oh. Yeah, it disappeared on me. Oh, here you go. My pages are sticky. James chapter 1, verse 2-4. Yes, let's read together. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen. Yeah, we want to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience, right? That we would lack nothing. Even when I first started work, first time when you get yelled at or you realize you did something really horrible and you're going to get paid for it, you learn and you go on and you continue to be better at your job. And eventually, you can be promoted because you're used to dealing with so much problems that you had with your previous job, and those things seem easy now, right? But for us with the Lord's house, somehow we fall into a trial and we say, well, Lord, it's enough. I don't want to serve you anymore. Or, if only this, if only that, if only that. And since it's not, I'm not going to do it, right? But the Lord really needs to speak to us that we would be those who are willing to have a testing of our faith producing patience, right? I realize we're really so impatient. Moses had to wander around the desert for 40 more years, right? And waiting, and just for so many years. And for us, it's one incident, it's one circumstance, it's one thing, and we already give up. The Lord really needs to save us from this, right? Let's read Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord,
more
than those who watch for the morning.
Yes.
More than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Amen. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption.
Amen.
Amen. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Right? Yeah. We have to be confident, right, that the Lord is going to do it, right? The Lord, as we were sharing, is the one who builds the church, right? The Lord is the one who can save us and give us such a mercy to see his purpose, right? And the Lord is the only one who can do it and will do it. He's promised it, right? And for us, right, we need to then be those who wait on the Lord, right? You know, we really like instant gratification, right? We like it when things go our way all the time, and we want to just do it once and it's going to work the first time, right? But the Lord wants us to be those who really watch for him, right? More than those who just wait for the next morning, right? Waiting for the morning, but to be those who really desire and wait on the Lord, right? Yeah, the Lord used to fully redeem us of all these things, right? It says that with him is abundant redemption, right? The Lord is the only one who can save us from all these ways and thinkings that are in our own head, right? May the Lord really show us, Lord. Show us not to, you know, simply suffer for the things in the world, but if we want a desire to build his house, if we want to be those who labor for him, you know, that we would also be willing to suffer, right? Willing to suffer loss for his own glory's sake, right? It's much more joyful in the end, right? We don't want to be those who don't suffer in this present time, and when the Lord comes, said, well, how come you got nothing done, right? Take the talent, we buried it. I didn't want to suffer, Lord. I didn't want to have any problems that disagree with my flesh, right? But the Lord really needs to impart to us such a patience and such a yearning that we would suffer for him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.